What's up, everybody? It is your girl Keisha from Put Your Phone Down podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I really want for you to listen intently. I have a wonderful gentleman on my line, and Mr. Hammonds, I'm your host, Keisha, and I want you to know that I am here to highlight you and your talents. There is a very strong scripture that says, a man's gifts will make room for him, and that's Proverbs 18:16. I saw you possibly in what, 2, 3 years ago, and you were playing this violin chopper style at a wedding, and you were going at it. Since then, I've seen your growth. I've seen you go around the world plenty of times, and I'm so thankful that you have had time to be on my podcast. I just want to really welcome you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for this interview.
I'm excited too. So take it back. I'm seeing you, like I said, probably around 2016, 2017. No, I'm sorry, probably around 2020. And you're playing this violin. But before you got to that point, who were you? When did you realize that this was your gift?
I'd say that probably the time I realized it was, I want to say college, because I still was kind of unsure on what direction I wanted to take the violin, and I knew at the time that I had a passion for it. I knew at the time that I had a love for it, and I just didn't know what direction I wanted to go with it, because I'm classically trained. And so I've been, most of my career I've been in orchestras and just doing a lot of classical music. And it wasn't until like around high school, excuse me, college, where I was like, okay, I love classical, but I just don't feel like my passion and heart is in it. So I started branching off into jazz, started studying jazz, and then that's when I started. It was kind of like a new awakening for me. That's when I started realizing, okay, this might be the direction I want to go in. And when I graduated from the University of Oklahoma in 2017, I came back to Houston, and I was working at a violin shop and teaching violin lessons as well, just trying to make ends meet. But at the same time, on weekends, I play at various restaurants, jazz clubs, stuff like that in Houston. And then one thing led to another. People started loving what I was doing. I was playing a lot of popular songs, Stevie Wonder, excuse me, oldies at the time. I was playing a lot of oldies, Stevie Wonder, Temptations, stuff like that. And people just was really feeling what I was doing. So that's when I knew right then and there, like, okay, this might work. And that's when I started realizing, okay, I think I found my calling. I think this is my area, and I stuck with it. And next thing you know, it's still blowing up to this day.
Isn't it indeed a calling? The power of social media, because I know you spoke about the history and in college and still trying to figure it out. But can I take it back a little bit further? The young you, where everybody is trying to find themselves, probably around 15, 16, was your interest in music or what was your history before you picked up that violin?
Yeah, so we could take it back even further. I was actually 8 years old when I started playing, when I first picked up the violin. And it the way it happened was, I think it was, let me see, I was in elementary school. I was in the 5th grade, and that school that I attended didn't offer, it was just a regular elementary school. They didn't offer a lot of fine arts. So I was able to get transfer schools, because my name got picked out of a lottery. It was some lottery that they had. I can't remember, it was so long ago. It was a lottery that they had, and whoever got chosen got to transfer schools to to schools where they have fine arts. So I got lucky enough to get my name picked, and then I went to this school in Houston called Bethune Academy. And once I got there, and this is 6th grade, they offered fine arts. So they had theater, they had orchestra, they had just different different things that you can, dance. So at the time I was doing sports. I was doing little league sports. I've never thought I was going to do anything with music. So when I got to that school, I had to choose a fine arts because it was required. So my grandmother, because I was raised with my grandparents, my grandmother suggested that I play the violin or try it out. I was like, yeah, because at the time I was like, nah, that's a little girly, don't you think? You don't really see too many people, too many Black African American guys, playing violin. So she kept pushing me, and I was like, I'll give it a shot. So I gave it a shot, and at first I was still kind of iffy about it. It's a very difficult instrument to play. So I gave it a shot, and I was like, okay, I guess I could work with it. So as time went on, I just started getting better and better at it. And then that's when I started, outside of school, I started taking private lessons. I started joining orchestras outside of school. And as I got older, I just got more advanced. And then that's when I started incorporating. That's when I started getting more skillful at it. And so as my skills were getting better, I was always looking at ways to find something different. So my grandmother suggested that I maybe start learning church music. So I started playing in church. And that's kind of when that was the first time when I branched outside of classical music. And I think that's what kind of made me stay, because then I realized, like, okay, I'm getting better at this. People really, I have a lot of people in my corner that's encouraged me to keep going with it. So maybe I should just keep going. And then so I went to the High School for the Performing Arts in Houston, and I was in the orchestra there. And then I got way better just attending that school. I just got way more skillful. And then after that, I graduated from there, went to the University of Oklahoma, and I majored in music. So it's a journey, but over time, I just felt like, okay, it was more confirmations, as I was continuing my career throughout my school days.
It definitely seems like it was meant because, like you
Yeah.
said, you had your grandmother, and it sounded like it was a lot of doubt in there, but you kept going, which is
Right.
why I wanted to take a moment to highlight you because, again, I'm sitting here looking at this young man wearing his violin out. And every time I looked up, what I saw and I absolutely loved was the consistency. It's like you kept going. Eventually, I'm looking at you in my hometown. I'm like, wait a minute, he's gonna be in Gary. I'm seeing you at festivals. I'm seeing you go around the world. But before you stepped into this new world that you're in now, entering spaces that are indeed made for you, I was speaking to your manager. And he was telling me in 2017, this is pretty much where the vision became what it is now. Can we talk about that moment when you had somebody come to you and was on your side in your corner telling you, hey, look, it's time to, it's go time. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, that 2017 was pretty much the year where I just made a life-changing decision. I had multiple people around in my corner telling me to take that leap. Because it was scary. I didn't know if I was going to make any money out of it, or just be successful at it. You just don't really see too many people just going full time, being a full time musician, and then the people who do, like, it never works out. So I was just kind of scared. So at that time, when I graduated from the University of Oklahoma, I came back to Houston, and I picked up a job at a violin shop. And then I also taught private lessons. I had about 40 students, and they were doing pretty well. And that, and I never mind teaching. I just knew that that's not where my heart was. But I did enjoy teaching. So I had 40 students, and it really tested me, because like I said, that was my first time actually teaching, in general. I've never taught a day in my life. So it taught me a lot of things on just being patient, and then just to see how my students were progressing just from my teachings. It really encouraged me. And it was really fun. I had a good time, but I still knew at the time that my heart was on stage. You know, I wanted to tour, I wanted to perform on stage. And so I was doing that. I was teaching at a violin shop, just making ends meet, you know, paying bills. And so on the weekends, I would play at various restaurants in Houston and stuff like that. So nothing too big. And then it just came to a point where I was like, okay, I think I need to take that leap. I need to take that jump. And I quit my violin job. I'm not sorry, I quit my job at the violin shop, and then I let go of all my students, which was a really, really tough moment for me. But everyone understood, and I just pretty much told everybody, like, hey, I think I'm gonna just take that leap. I'm gonna go full time musician, and we'll just see where it takes me. And so once I did that, it was bittersweet. And so it's funny because I think that Chopper Style video that went viral happened not too long after that. So once I quit my jobs and went full time, I was still, doing small gigs. And that's all. And then that same year, I met my manager, Jonathan Young. And it was just everything was just starting to fall in place. And so that when that Chopper Style video came out, it pretty much took my career and my name to the next level. And so after that video, it's just my social media just started blowing up. So I'm getting all these inquiries of people wanting me to play at their wedding and parties and doing shows and concerts. The next thing you know, my calendar is booked up every weekend. At that time, it was crazy. At that particular time, I had about 3 to 4 events a weekend. So I was in 3 or 4 cities a weekend. And it was like that whole year. And then it went to the next year, 2018, I was booked up then. And then it was just kind of like a domino effect. So once I play at these events, more people know me and they want to hire me. So it's just kind of been an ongoing thing. And now people book me like a year in advance. It's been a blessing to be able to take that leap and know that God has been opening doors for me. And yeah, and that's why I try to encourage people, like, if there's something that you have, that you want to do and you have a passion for it, go for it. Go for it, because God is always gonna be there for you to help open those doors for you.
And can we talk about that and stay there for a moment? Because one video, although you were already being prepared, just changed your whole dynamic. You know, everything seemed like it happened so fast paced, even the way you think. Can we talk about that for a minute? Because I'm sure one minute you're wishing upon a star, and the next minute a video goes viral, and it's like you said, you being overlooked to overbooked. How do you train your mentality in these new spaces? What is that like?
I've always kind of found myself as a student when it comes to a lot of these different situations. I go into a lot, I have a, and I also have a lot of friends that have been in the music industry for a long time. So I'm always, asked for advice. Just kind of just been a student when it comes to a lot of these, just festivals that I've done and just events and just seeing how other musicians work. And I'm always asking questions and just trying to see how I can get myself to the next level, because I'm still learning. I'm still young. So there's so much I still, need to learn and things I want to do, and just keeping myself mentally grounded, because I know there's a lot of, temptations in the industry. There's a lot of, just evil. And so that's why we really make it a point to keep God first, within everything we do. And just keeping laying low, not trying to be too in the spotlight, and just watching and see how things move, people move. It's a lot. It's a lot that goes into the industry. But when you keep God first and you stay grounded in the Word, then nothing can hurt you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So, and that's something that my grandmother's always told me growing up. So I think she's been a very important piece in my life, throughout my life, come, you know, just being raised by her and my grandpa, and it's, you know, they really kept me grounded in the word, and you know, I always went to church, so I've always had my faith in God. So once you have that, then like I said, nothing can really stop you know, or ruin you.
And God is definitely ordering your steps. And I wanted to say, just, I grew up in a time where art and music was kind of dying. We had this catchphrase, save the music, because we started seeing it being replaced with other things, I wanted to know, since you worked with kids, and you are you seeing the change in instruments not being placed in the forefront like it used to be, and what exactly could do you think that you could do to bring that back for the community, to let them know, look, instruments are cool. We need to bring it back. So what would you do in this position that you're in now?
Even since I was young, fine arts has never been a priority in these schools. They've always been the ones that, you know, they don't get the most money when it comes to funding, and so they're always the first ones to get cut. And that's still to this day, you know, a lot of schools prioritize, you know, it's Texas. I'm in Texas, so a lot of schools prioritize sports. You know, sports is huge in Texas, and so that's when it comes to fine arts like orchestra and stuff like that, that always gets cut. You know, and it's just a lot of people just don't understand how beneficial music. Well, I'm speaking music, so that's just my area, but a lot of people don't understand how music can be really beneficial to one's life. I feel like music. Well, I don't feel like I know music is a lost medicine. It's a medicine that a lot of us tend to forget, because music is powerful. It really is, and I've seen it heal. A lot of people has messaged me saying how, you know, they've been depressed, and they've used my music to heal their depression. And I could take it a step past that. I mean, I've had people who, you know, said that they were thinking about taking their lives, and they, my music has really helped, you know, kind of get their mind off that. So it's a lot of things, situations that I've personally, a lot of people who's messaged me, it really opened my eyes to see how really beneficial my music has transformed their lives. So when it comes to a lot of these programs being cut, it's really sad to see. But that's why I made it my mission to show the world, or just, you know, the people who watch my stuff, that you can put your mind to anything. You know, a lot of people didn't think a violin could play hip hop music. A lot of people didn't think the violin could play R&B and soul and stuff. So when I started doing that, it really opened up the eyes to a lot of people. And specifically kids, you know, a lot of kids didn't know. And I've even had parents tell me, like, wow, I didn't know you can do that with a violin. So that encouraged parents and kids to take violin. I get messages from people saying how they're ringing a violin because they got inspired by what I do. And so I feel like that's my duty. That's one of my duties, is to show people that, you know, you can do anything with anything. You know, even if you play harp, you can play hip hop on the harp. So I feel like that's kind of how I can help in that area. Because, you know, you don't see a lot of people interested in fine arts nowadays. You know, you don't really see that. But if I can make them see that, then I feel like I fulfill my duty. So that's why I do what I do, because it's different. It's outside the box, and it's cool. It's a cool thing to play Drake on the violin. Like, it's cool to see. So yeah, I feel like that kind of helped. I guess relight a fire in some people.
No, it definitely has. I mean, everything that you said, I'm looking at, like I said, you playing the violin. And then I started seeing more people playing, like you said, the harp. Then I'm starting to see more people like Lizzo. I had no clue Lizzo was that gifted with the flute. So it's starting to make its way back. And I wanted to get on, like you said, you cover all genres pretty much. You know, your catalog in music is bananas. And I mean that in the most respectful way. Right now, you have your newest baby out, the Soul Capsule, Volume 2. And I'm going through the playlist like, this boy is bad. Like, you got all different kinds, the newer music. It's something on there for everybody. But I know you mentioned that you started, you know, in church and classical. How did we get here? Well, you, like you said, you got Drake, and then you turn around and we playing CC Wine as Goodness of God. You know, it's like you are so gifted, but how do we get here to where you are now with all this music for everybody?
Right. So, like, I'd say probably towards middle school, going to high school, I that's when I started playing in churches around Texas. And so that's when I started realizing, like, okay, you know, I can play gospel music now. I can play by ear, because what I do is at the time I was going to YouTube, and I would type in a song and I would just listen to the song. I would just listen to it, feel it, and then really listen to the lyrics. And so I would try my best to match those lyrics to my violin. So I'll just pretty much transfer whoever's singing the song. And I'm just playing what they're singing. And as I kept doing that over and over and over, I just started getting better at it. So, and then what kind of confirmed my ear was when in high school, I joined a jazz Latin band. And that was the first time I've joined a group outside of orchestra. So it was very new. It was very new for me. And that band comprised of like horns and saxophones and trumpets and stuff like that. So I was the only violin in that band. And this was at MacArthur High School in Houston, Texas. So the band leader or the instructor took a chance and just, you know, just like, you know, let's try you out. Let's have you join the band. And I think it was called Noche Caliente, and I was there for about 2 years. And so he was kind of just going on a leap of faith too, because he's never had a violin in his band. So that was the first time where I realized that my ear, it was kind of a moment where I knew I could play by ear, but at the same time, I knew that I had a lot of work to do when it came to that, because I was playing gospel music, but when it came to the jazz, that jazz is a very difficult, you know, if you don't know your scales and know different things, it can be very difficult. So it really taught me a lot. Joining that band really taught me a lot when it came to improvising on my violin and not having to rely on sheet music and just playing what I feel, playing regular notes. So as I did that, that's when I was like, okay, this is pretty fun. So I started really enjoying it. And I think the reason for that was because orchestra, you know, you're reading sheet music all day, every day. You're reading. But when you're in jazz, you're playing what you feel. And I think that kind of confirmed me. It kind of helped me confirm that, okay, this might be something I want to continue to look into, because I just felt more free when it came to that. So I would go home and get on YouTube and just play instrumental tracks and just kind of just improv to it. I'll just bake up notes to it. And as I just kept doing that over and over and over, I just started getting better at that. And then when I went to college, I was still in orchestra, but I also picked up an emphasis in jazz. So I was a music major with an emphasis in jazz. So I did take a few jazz study classes there, and that really elevated my sound. It really elevated my skill in the jazz area. And so at that time, just because I was getting better at my ear was getting better and I was improvising more, I started just tapping into other songs, like, you know, R&B songs or hip hop songs. I was just kind of tapping into that area. And And I wasn't, at that time social media wasn't very big. It wasn't really as prominent as it is today. So I wasn't really posting videos. I was just practicing. I was just playing around all the time. And so when I graduated from University of Oklahoma in 2017, and after I took that leap of faith, I had a show in Houston. It was my first time playing at a jazz club. It was called Martini Blue, and I had the opportunity to play at a Sunday brunch there, and they gave me the opportunity. They want to see, what I can do, and if I did well, they were going to give me a headlining show, like on a Friday, Saturday night, which that's where they a lot of known jazz artists come in and do shows. So they enjoyed, they loved what I did for the brunch and gave me my own show. So I started realizing, okay, I need to kind of switch up my repertoire. And because the audience in those type of settings was like 35, 40, 45, around that area. So I was like, okay, I gotta play something that's really gonna grab their attention. So that's when I started learning like a lot of oldies, like Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Prince, Chaka Khan, stuff like that. And I sat there and learned them. And then so when I did the show, they just loved it. They loved it. Everybody was just loving what I was doing. And that's kind of when I realized, like, okay, well, I'm done with classical music. This is gonna be my money making right here. This is gonna be my area. So I just stuck with it, and I just ever since then I'm just learning pop songs, country songs, hip hop. I'm just learning songs because it's crazy because people just they're just gravitate get gravitate because you've never seen it. A lot of people never seen it. So once they saw it, they was like, okay, yeah, we definitely gonna support you, and this is something that we've never experienced. Like, we love what you do. So I just kept learning a lot of popular songs.
Yeah,
That's how that
you definitely are kicking these doors
happened.
open. I mean, when I tell you, I'm like, what can you not play? So I'm looking, and I really want for you to highlight the Soul Capsule Volume 2 and your other work. We're getting close to your 30 minutes, but I really want, before we get off here, for you to highlight, what's your upcoming events? What can these people look forward to with Soul Capsule Volume 2 and the other work that you have out? So I'm going to give you this opportunity to show out.
Yeah, so Soul Capsule Volume 2 is actually a cover album that I just re recently released last month, and it's pretty much a lot of the songs that I post a lot of videos on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that, YouTube, and a lot of people always ask me like, "Hey, can we get full cover songs to these?" So I was like, "Okay, let's go ahead and just make it an album." So I will record full length cover songs and just put them on the album. So I actually have Soul Capture Volume 1 out. I dropped that in 2019, I think. I can't remember. I think it's like 2020, I think I dropped that. And so everybody loved it. So I was like, okay, let's do a volume 2. And then I'm actually going to release a volume 3 pretty soon. So those albums are just cover songs. I do have a couple of original albums out where I have my own music, and that's called one of them is called The Sweet Escape, and that's out on all streaming platforms. And the first debut album that I put out was called Flavors. So those are all original songs that you can go stream. And of course, I'm popping on social media. I have TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. Like I said, all these songs are on available on all streaming platforms. So yeah, that's kind of me. And then I do have a website, dominickcammons.com, if you want to see more videos, or if you would like to book me, we have, that's available on my website. And there's a lot more music on the way, a lot more original music, a lot more videos I'm getting ready to do, concert shows. My next concert is going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, December 30th, right before New Year. So, and that's selling out fast. So the information is on my website. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, so this has been an awesome journey through your life. I greatly appreciate you and your works. I'm thankful that you have stepped into your calling. Not a lot of people do. And you are opening doors for other people. You never know who's looking. So, Mr. Hammonds, thank you so much for being on Put Your Phone Down podcast. I hope this is the first of many interviews with you. And if not, you know, I'm going to be rooting for you on the side and sharing your videos. You guys,
thank you.
Listen to Mr. Hammonds. Follow him. He's placed his information out there. And until the next time, y'all, be good. Thanks.
Thank
I'm your
you.
Girl, Keisha. Bye-bye.